Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Jesse Liberty.
Today, I don't even know where to begin with how excited I am about who I have here. I have James Montemagno, David Ortenau, and Matty Ledger, or Leger, depending on your mood. All three major players in Xamarin, and more important for today, in Maui. Folks, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great. I'm having a great time having the three of you here, I'll say that. And my motto is healthy, safe, and employed.
There you go. Yes, the priorities get very focused in a time like this, don't they?
They do. But even so, Maui is a priority. So I'm going to kick it off by saying this. I've talked to a bunch of Xamarin Forms programmers, and there's an unease as to understanding whether Maui is going to place Xamarin Forms, put them out of business, make them learn something new. Maybe we could use that as a launch point for what Maui is and how it's going to impact the current Xamarin programmer.
Sure. Yeah, let's dispel that right off the bat. So .NET Maui is an evolution of Xamarin Forms. So everything that you're doing in Xamarin Forms today, you can continue doing, and you'll be doing it on .NET 6. So, we announced the vision for what we are looking to achieve with .NET Maui at build. And then we basically said, and you'll get it in .NET 6, which is like 18 months away. Which is both a blessing and a curse. The blessing being that we have plenty of time to make sure that we get some things right and we can tackle some of the hard challenges. Some of those hard challenges are we really, really need to address app performance. We can make our apps faster and they can start faster, they can run faster, they can be very fluid, but that's work that we need to do. There's also app size. We want to make sure that your apps are as small as we can possibly make them so you can get underneath the app clip limits and the things like that that people are excited to be doing on iOS. And of course, you have similar things on Android. And then we want to bring our desktop support up to snuff so that it has feature parity, not only with the mobile platforms, but also so that we can really take a focused look at what are the desktop scenarios. I was literally just on a call earlier today with a huge company down in Brazil that has taken Xamarin Forms and built out some amazing, beautiful desktop applications. And we're going to be doing a case study on this. It's going to be wonderful. So when we actually have that out there, I can share the name and everything. But it's really amazing what they're able to do. And we want to make sure that we can do even better than that in .NET Maui. So, everything that all your experiences, all the things that we've learned over the past 6+ years now of having Xamarin Forms in the market is informing all these changes, all these improvements. It's not like, of course, the example that always comes up, and Jesse, I think you're pretty familiar with this one. Oh, is this another Silverlight, right? Are you going to pull the rug out from under us?
You want to see my wounds?
I'm sure. And I know from talking to developers that many, many feel that pain if they've been in the ecosystem for any length of time. And so here's the thing, is that we are not replacing things. We're not, gutting things. We're saying, hey, we're learning from you. We're learning from developers. We're learning from our own history, and we are making a distinct change to move forward. And so the renaming, the plan, the epic scope of the plan is really more of an indicator of the sea change that we're making here in the product. But it's a change that brings everybody forward. So is there work to be done in bringing people forward? It depends on of course, where you've invested your code. If it's a lot of platform code versus more cross-platform code, all of it can come forward, but there may be a little bit more work. If you've written some really hefty custom renderers, they will work. But if you want to take advantage of, say, the new slim renderers, which have performance benefits, you're going to want to port some of those things. So, we're developers. We're not scared of work, so that's fine. And we're not going to break people as best we can. So we want to make sure that anything that we do in .NET Maui, and I know I've already gone on for several minutes now, but I really want to make sure that everybody has that confidence to know that this .NET Maui transition is more about the confidence in what we've been doing in Xamarin Forms and bringing you forward in addressing the key things that we know we've been hearing from you that you want to see addressed and improved. So with that, I'll take a breath.
my new favorite feature in a lot of these tools that you use, like Zencastr to record this, use Team at Work all the time, is the hand raising feature. It's like the best thing ever. But of course, everybody has to know how to use it. We use it like pretty much much all the time in all of our meetings, like when you have so many people, and obviously when we record a podcast, you can't see each other. So it's quite hard. It's my new favorite feature. But yeah, you know, I think what David said is great. And it's all very true. You know, when you think of, you know, Dotnet Maui going forward, there's really kind of three key aspects to it. You have the runtime, you have the framework, you have the tooling, right? I think that these are all really elegant bits and pieces that are going forward. So the cool part here is that runtime, okay, it's a run. Don't really got to worry about tooling. A more productive, fantastic framework, stuff that David just said. You know, I just gave I just worked with Maddie, Mitri, and Max engineering team, and I just gave a demo recently. I call it the new Xamarin experience. It's not really new. It's just sort of all the amazing work that the team has been doing to make things spectacular. And I literally just did, you know, file new project, everyone's favorite demo in the world. I do file new project and blank application. The new blank application kind of tells you a little bit of what to do. But I start with a UWP app, and in iOS and Android are there, but I debug on UWP, right? And it boots up. And I have hot reload and my XAML all available. Awesome, right? Mm-hmm. I also have brand new XAML diagnostics built in. So if I have errors with bindings in it, it'll tell me inside of the ID. And then I go and I boot the same application up debug onto Android, right? On super fast Android emulators that have been optimized or work with both Windows, Hyper-V, of course, Mac. I get the same exact XAML binding IntelliSense, hot reload. I can now also go into my Android project. I can modify the Android resources or code in that file, hit apply changes, and it'll relaunch my Android app and redeploy it in seconds. It's quite amazing. That's different than hot reload. It's resources in Android. And then what do I do next? I take my iOS phone, iOS device, plug it into my Windows machine, set iOS as my startup, and I hit deploy. With hot restart, I'm able to not only deploy to my iOS device directly from my Windows machine, but I get all that XAML hot reload. I can make changes to the code behind. I can hit restart. Restarts in seconds, right? Just super duper crazy product. And that's amazing. And all of that stuff is coming to Dotnet Maui, right? But it's also available today. It's stuff that you can get, right? I mean, I just kind of like, it blew my mind, you know, when I sat there and just, it was so seamless. I was developing three platforms. Everything just worked very gracefully. And I think it's really a testament to what David said at the very end. It's like, we're listening to all of you, right? All, every single one of you that's not only just listening to the podcast, but are developing application and the engineering team and the PM team, they're hard at work on it. And the community team, that's what I lead. And we're hard at work, you know, making sure you know all these things are available. It's quite astonishing to see it all come
together. I guess the thing that I want to ask is to back up a bit and talk about what is distinguishing Maui from what we have today. What are the key distinctions that it's being reformulated with?
So really, it begins with .NET 6. So it's a unification in saying we're bringing Xamarin into .NET. It's always been a .NET product, a .NET framework. But now we're saying, okay, we're going to bring it into the .NET org. It is going to adhere to all the same .NET review processes that we have for our other products. It's going to be running on .NET 6, the very latest stuff. That's all good and great, but that's kind of have to state those things, right? Because that's the base. That's where you start from. In terms of, as you compare .NET Maui to Xamarin Forms, it begins with the control run. So something that we've heard a lot from developers, especially the new developers, those who did not start with Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android, but came directly to Xamarin Forms, is they say, you know what? I chose a cross-platform framework so that I didn't have to mess around with UIKit on iOS, and I didn't have to learn how to interact with Android widgets and contexts and things like that. And so I want to stay as much as possible and be as productive as possible in the cross-platform layer. What we are doing is we are re-architecting, refactoring the renderers to, first of all, address some of the performance concerns. Second of all, decouple us from the bindings or from binding and bindable objects and things that really make MVVM happen. And that may sound frightening to begin with, but it's just a decoupling. The MVVMness, the data binding, all that stuff still exists. But we're decoupling it from the actual UI controls so that we can enable some future experiences. Some of those future possible experiences are things like Comet. Comet is a C# MVU experiment from James Clancy, another one of our PMs, one of our coworkers. That's very exciting. And if you have enjoyed Swift UI, or you've kind of lusted after the code experience you might see in Flutter or Jetpack Compose, then the Comet experiment may be exactly what you're looking for. And by by doing this, we are enabling those experiences to not have to bear the whole weight of what Xamarin Forms brings to enable MVVM, because they're not going to use that. Blazor Mobile Bindings is another experiment that has informed some of these refactorings that we're doing. So, you know, .NET 6 and being able to run on .NET and being part of .NET, that gives so much confidence to companies and to developers to know that, okay, this investment we're making in .NET MAUI is going to be around, and the investment you're making today in Xamarin Forms is going to be around for a long time to come, because you know what? .NET's been around 20 years now and has so many developers all over the world, and it's growing at a wonderful pace. I think it's hitting some of its highest numbers ever. I know from Xamarin Forms standpoint, this year alone, we've twice set new records for customer satisfaction. We've hit all-time high numbers in developer engagement. And so we're definitely seeing that positiveness and that positive trend. So it all starts with that .NET confidence, and then that slim renderage. You just can't, because it's the backbone of everything that really runs your native applications. So making sure that that gets you the performance you need. But also there's a really nice benefit where we're going to be able to make it such that you can touch the native platform layer if you want to, or you can extend those native controls without having to write the dreaded custom renderer. To me, a custom renderer, and I don't know, James, Maddie, you may have different feelings on this, but a custom renderer to me is a very liberating thing, right? Because it means that I can get to any aspect of that native UI layer that I need to get to. But to some, it's like seen as a burden. Again, if you've come straight to Xamarin Forms as a cross-platform tool, you're like, I don't want to have to mess with that stuff. So with the way that we're re-architecting these renderers, you're going to be able to use this property mapper inspired by what James Clancy did with the Comet experiment, and you're going to be able to very easily extend those controls. And then add on to that something that we're introducing in Xamarin Forms 5, which will be out in about 6 weeks or so, roughish, like mid-October, we're taking the control templates that you've literally always had in Xamarin Forms since like version 2, and we're going to bring that to the radio button as a new control. So for those who want to be able to just to do everything you need to do from a UI perspective, you can do it all in XAML, or at least all in the Xamarin Forms layer. And you don't ever have to go down to the iOS, the Android, the UWP, the Tizen, the Linux, the Mac OS. Did I miss any platforms that we actually have out there? You can do it all in that cross-platform layer. And now you can use shapes and paths. You can use gradient brushes, solid brushes. You can use font icons, all these things to really liberate your ability to create any design you need to create. I saw a tweet over the weekend that, of course, I always love seeing the good positive tweets. And the developer was saying, you know what? I really feel like there's just like no limit to what we can do design-wise in Xamarin Forms. Just so cheap. So, you know, those are just the top of mind things from my standpoint that differentiate .NET MAUI from Xamarin Forms. But again, the path from Xamarin Forms to .NET MAUI, this is just an evolution. It's a path forward. And I'm really excited about it because we're going to start previewing this stuff later this year. .NET Conf is coming up. So coming soon. And a lot of these things enable some wonderful opportunities to improve our whole IDE experience too, from a tooling standpoint. So maybe Maddie, if you want to chime in on some of that or anything else, because we need to hear from you.
I was getting all geared up. I was like, I'm going to find the perfect moment to interrupt him, because all you're talking about is SDK stuff. And there's so much going on kind of with MAUI and .NET 6 and this time frame that also applies to tooling. Because most of what you talked about is really things that are coming to the actual framework. But it would be a big miss for us if we didn't take the opportunity of the changes in the framework to also update a lot of the developer experience itself. So if you saw anything from Build, you might have seen some cool vision demo stuff. You might have seen, you know, some VS Code, some C# hot reload, some cool things in there. But the fundamental thing we're looking at with .NET MAUI is sorry, I just saw Dave's.
She raised her hand to come in and speak. Like, you know, I'm a runaway train, especially when you talk about something like Xamarin Forms and .NET MAUI. I get super passionate. I get my preach on and I get really excited because, I mean, I joined Microsoft specifically because I was so excited to invest in this platform. And so I get going, and then Maddie's got her hand raised in Zencastr, but I'm looking at the images that they're sending me while, and so I was just very distracted.
Yeah, we're super organized. Can't you tell? I am just so excited about the things that we are looking to deliver with .NET 6. And part of combining with .NET and doing the .NET runtime and really merging all of our stuff together is actually being able to take advantage of new things like project system, the common project system, doing SDK style projects. Something we've heard a lot too is that when you update Visual Studio, it updates the Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS. And, you know, sometimes even Xamarin Forms for the templates. We want to decouple all of those things from the IDE so you can have whatever Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS versions you want with whatever IDE version you want. So you're not locked to upgrading or not upgrading in some case. Multi-targeting. And that leads to something that I'm really excited about, which is our single project experience. So instead of having a Xamarin Forms project and a Xamarin iOS project and a Xamarin Android project, and your platform-specific code goes in the platform project, and your shared code, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot. Everything's in one project. It multi-targets. Your images are all there. Your fonts are all there. Everything is handled in one place and just works out beautifully for you. How does that work? I don't know yet. We have to build it, but I'm very excited. And I think it's going to be
great. Did you just say that I put my images in one place and it works on all the platforms?
Yes, I did. And font and anything else you can dream of. Don't get that in writing. That's not a promise, but hopefully.
Okay. If nothing else, I'm excited about that.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of this is very exciting, and some things went by quickly that I'd like to dive a little deeper into. And could you start with MVU? Because a lot of us are highly invested in MVVM, psychologically, emotionally. And could you just talk a little bit about what MVU is and when or how we might use it?
Well, you know, before David explains this, I just want to... So what it is it's one less VM and one more U.
Right.
Thank you. That explains it. I appreciate it, and good night.
James has a great way of just boiling everything down to the bare essentials. Well, so first of all, I want to acknowledge something that you said, because I think it is absolutely true, and it's something that we're trying to be very sensitive to, is that people do kind of get their identity wrapped up in patterns. MVVM is almost a way of life for a lot of developers, and we are absolutely not moving that cheese. That cheese is staying right where it is. You're going to continue to use MVVM in .NET MAUI, and you're going to love it. And anything that we can do to improve MVVM and XAML, for that matter, data binding and evolving all of those things, and especially as it relates to XAML, along with our Windows team members, we are going to do that. So, you know, if you're being successful with those things, absolutely keep on trucking. No worries. You're going to be well supported and well cared for. Now, Model View Update is a pattern, and you can look at the Elm architecture, which is kind of the pure Model View Update pattern, is one where you have a single directional flow of state, immutable state typically, and then you're using messages to update that state. And so what we've done, or what James Clancy has done in Comet, is kind of taken away some of that ceremony of how other architectures have envisioned or realized MVU as a pattern, and said, okay, how can we just make this a little bit easier, some syntactic sugar, and make this a really fluid C-sharp experience. So again, it's an experiment that we are going to be continuing to evolve over you know, however long it takes before we decide that we've squeezed every learning we possibly can from it. And we understand kind of where it fits into developers' worlds. But this is a pattern that you kind of see in Flutter. You see it in React Native to a degree. You see it in Swift UI to a degree. There are lots of considerations in how you manage state in an MVU application, but but really the bare bones of what that experience typically is it's a single language, in our case, C#. It's a single flow of state, usually a very well-defined flow of state. And it's also kind of a, I'm going to say shadow DOM, where you're going to be your state manipulates that DOM. DOM, that's a web term, right? Document object, not literally what's happening on client apps, but forgive me for mixing my terms. But what happens is essentially the changes that flow back into your UI tree are diffed against the actual UI tree, and only the changes are applied. And this also enables a very robust end-to-end C# hot reload experience that is more difficult to do when you don't have a well-defined pattern for coding your UI. So MVU kind of lends itself super well to that experience, a single language, single flow of state, and much more about it. But yeah, that's kind of where it is. So don't worry, MVVM, XAML, it's going to be around for a long time. It's battle-tested. It's great for enterprise. MVU may also be absolutely great for enterprise. It certainly can scale well. We've seen people doing it with other platforms, with F# and Fabulous and some of the other experiments that are out. So we're in the learning phase with it still, for sure. I want to make sure I'm very clear on that. And we'll continue learning throughout this whole process and see where it takes us. But we're excited about it. A lot of developers have expressed excitement about MVU, but we hope that we can have that collective, you know, inclusive, all camps are welcome in terms of that sort of thing, and that we don't alienate anybody just by saying, okay, reactive UI, you have a seat, MVVM, you have a seat, MVU, you have a seat, and whoever knows what's going to come next, whether it has more Vs, more Us, more Ms, I don't know.
Okay, a couple of quick questions. Let me, if you don't mind, focus in on some of what you said. One thing was MVU, you're saying a single language. So, and I understand, I totally get that you're going to support XAML and MVVM. But if I were doing MVU or experimenting with MVU, I'd be working in just C# for my markup as well as my logic. Do I have that right?
That in terms of how we are envisioning the whole experience, yes. Yep. That okay. Doesn't mean that MVU cannot be done with XAML. You can look at Fabulous today in F#, and they have an option for you to use XAML.
Do you find that for new Xamarin Forms authors, writers, that XAML is a stumbling block, that having to learn XAML on top of learning the entire atmosphere of Xamarin Forms is a bit of a stumbling block for people?
I'll say my quick bit on this, and then James, maybe you can chime in as well, or Maddie for that. I will say yes, but the qualification I want to put on it is it's not necessarily just XAML. It's that as soon as you introduce XAML, you need to also introduce a bunch of other concepts, such as markup extensions, such as value converters, such as data binding, such as binding. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not that XAML itself is the stumbling block. It's the collision of all these other concepts that you now need to have some understanding of to leverage it and make it useful. And so what we are hearing from new developers to the platform who have no prior XAML experience, they get really overwhelmed by that. As opposed to when they go try to learn something else that's a single language, it's a very defined pattern, then they just, you know, they run with it. So Maddie, what do you think?
Yeah, I started with the Xamarin team, a little bit over 2 years ago now, 2.5. And that was my first real exposure to XAML. And I remember thinking, wow, this is really nice and super easy, and I totally get how this works. Awesome. And then I tried to hook it up to anything, and it's pretty much exactly what Dave said. And I was like, oh man, I don't know how to make my button click. And I think I was working on a demo app with James, and he was like, you should really figure out what this MVVM thing is. And it totally spun my world around. I mean, it was just a whole new thing that I didn't even realize I didn't know until it came up. I think what I've loved about working with XAML and MVVM is that when you jump into an existing app, it's really easy to find where everything is. And I think that's why we see it seed so much with enterprise. But I definitely think for people, especially people coming out of, like, you know, CS degrees now, you work in JavaScript. JavaScript. It's one language. You use the same language for your UI and everything. There's not really HTML anymore. And if it is, it's in line with that JavaScript. Same thing with things like, you know, some Java apps, whatever it is, whatever you're writing. So it's kind of the expected paradigm right now to write everything in one language. Although it's tech, I can totally see this changing back in 1, 5, 10 years, whatever it is. Maybe we'll have FiveLine and everyone will write their UI in clip art.
Yeah, there's a picture. Hey, James, are we going to see Essentials in Maui?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, overall, like our main plan for it is, so if people don't know what Xamarin Essentials is a sort of really awesome open source project that the engineering, I led some of the EMing beginning of it, came together. And we said, there's so much awesome open source plugins and libraries that are out there that are enabling developers to tap into the native functionality, which has always been a big benefit of Xamarin as iOS and Android APIs, and just sort of abstracting them into a singular API for developer use. And the problem is, you know, like any open source, you're not any project, but some open source project, you know, me as a developer, I only have so much time to dedicate to them. If they're smaller, if they're larger, they're out there. So what the team did is we said, hey, you know, we've each created, like me, John Dick, Matthew Leibowitz, and others, we've all created our own plugins. We've learned a lot from them. What if we sort of took and worked with the open source community and also all of our learnings and created one singular mega library that was optimized, though, to be linker safe, which means if you only use one API, it's the only thing that hits your project. So this enables you to tap into preferences, the keychain, activity, clipboard, 80 different APIs in there. And it's been super duper successful. It's included with every file new project that you get when you do a new Xamarin project. And that really enables developers to be hyper productive when they're not only getting great tooling, but also getting great APIs from both Xamarin and from Essentials. So the idea is that really what we're doing is working close with the .NET base class library team and saying, what if Xamarin Essentials were to morph into sort of a standard across all .NET? Just it would work everywhere, not only in the platforms that we support, which is a lot. We support UWP, iOS, Android, watchOS, tvOS, macOS, Tizen. But what if it worked in some aspects of, you know, command line and ASP.NET Core and on microcontrollers and a bunch of other things where .NET runs? So that's sort of the vision, something that we're trying to morph it into, like something called system.devices. We're not 100% sure on it, but it would ship maybe as a NuGet package that you would just install, or maybe just ship with the runtime itself. And that would be great because it's not, again, it's not something new to learn. You just use a singular API. So the plan is for it to be there from day one, side by side system, or, you know, .NET Maui system.devices, but it would sort of go above and beyond even what's there today. So that's sort of the plan.
Yeah. And I'll just tag on to that in .NET Maui, some APIs that are duplicated by what is in Essentials, we're going to remove them from .NET Maui and we'll use the Essentials implementation so that, you know, we just have the one thing. So it's absolutely central and core to everything that we're doing.
Yeah, great, because I live on Essentials, I gotta tell you that. and for any of the Xamarin Forums folks who are listening who are not aware of Essentials, stop listening to this and go read about that. Because the essence of it is that if you want to do something like access the GPS or access the camera, instead of doing that 3 times or 4 times for each platform, you go and grab Essentials and they've already built for you all of the custom work. You just use it right straight from Xamarin Forms using a single API. Did I get that right, James?
That's correct, 100%.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about, David, you said in passing that React has a seat at the table. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So I was referring to Reactive UI, right? So this is the React-based C# .NET framework that is from, gosh, I don't even say. But it's out there and it's used.
Rodney does, Rodney Little.
Rodney, I know Rodney's one of them. And then there's a developer, Glenn, in Australia, I believe, who's also one. No, not Stonis. That's Michael Stone. Although he is definitely an advocate for React. No, Glenn Watson, I think.
Thanks,
all right, fact check.
I'll put the link in the chat so you can put it in the show notes if you want.
You know, the funny thing is, and this is crazy the way things work, is like in my mind's eye, I see his Twitter picture, right? And so then I'm trying to associate that with his Twitter handle and make sure that it's his name. This is the world we live in.
Yep,
so yeah, that's the React I was talking about. So if you misheard that as React as in React Native, that's not.
Although
I'm not closed off to the idea.
Yeah, and I'm not closed off also by the idea of hybrid applications not really being a focal, or they should be a focal point, even to not only the Xamarin story today, but the .NET MAUI story too, because, you know, there's a lot to love about the web. You know, I don't think I'd ever say that in a long time, but surprisingly, when you look at Blazor, you know, I mean, I'm not a web developer. Let me just say that. I've been a client developer my entire life. I don't even know how the internet works. It's amazing, and it blows my mind. All my friends are web developers, and so is my wife. They have to explain it. But, you know, I was recently helping and collaborating on this new .NET Live TV initiative team and I are working on for live streaming for .NET content, and we're building this new Blazor app. And surprisingly, as a XAML developer, a lot of what I know applies to Razor and a lot of how it works. It's quite magical. And, you know, there's these awesome Blazor mobile binding team have been working on to bring the Blazor model to Xamarin Forms. And the same thing there for that can apply to .NET MAUI going forward. So you could envision a day where if you look at React and React Native, right, those are two separate technologies. Let's make this very clear. React and React Native, they're separate. React Native is mobile. React is the web. But if you think of it today where you have Blazor and Xamarin Forms or Blazor and .NET MAUI, the idea of really blending some of those things together is very fascinating. In fact, on the ASP.NET, I'll put a link out so you can the show note. The team just literally talked about doing Blazor mobile binding hybrid apps with Xamarin Forms, which is a little bit, there's a lot of words in one thing, but here's what it means. What it means is that you can have a Xamarin application, you know, with native UI based with Xamarin Forms and bring in some web UI that's powered by Blazor. And beyond that, you can make that native UI with Blazor as well. So if you're a web developer, right, you're talking about the XAML, a cognitive load to come in. And Maddie talked about it. And I agree, it's sometimes a large cognitive load to learn everything. But if you want to come in and say, hey, I'm a web developer, I know how, you know, that architecture with Blazor works, you can leverage that knowledge and build not only a native UI with your Blazor and Razor, but you can also blend in web UI components and share state between it. Very, quite magic overall. Talking to a lot of web developers that just love that, hey, all the stuff that the teams are doing all magically work together. And that's like something, you know, Maddie was talking about the tooling, David's talking about the runtimes, and I'm talking about the amazing stuff that we're doing to enable web scenarios. It's cool just to really see all that really come together going forward.
How much of what you just described is cooked already?
Cooking it up. Well, I mean, it depends how you know, like to eat your tofu. Like, do you like the tofu just plain? Do you want to marinate it? So it, you know, takes in some of the essence of what you're marinating in and you like to cook it. It depends. So all the stuff with the Blazor mobile bindings is an experiment. And what that means is it's not productized. It means it's open source. You can grab it. That's sort of like eating tofu right out of the package. But I will say it's been marinating for a while. It's been out for a while, so you can definitely get it. And Ilan, who's been working on it, has some things going there. So I'd still say it's in the early marination stages. But of course, the Blazor team is very passionate about this scenario. So I could see it moving along to a fully cooked tofu, you know, pad thai scenario.
Hey, the more people use it and like it and give feedback on it, the quicker we have to cook it.
It's good.
I think we've killed this metaphor.
I don't know. It's got legs.
Well, you know,
wait,
you know,
no. I always have legs.
You know, everyone always says, like, well, you know, I remember Hunter and Hanselman were doing like the almost to your question about like .NET and how .NET's developed and, you know, what kind of flavor of .NET they would say. So I don't eat a lot of beef. I eat a lot of vegetarian vegan food. So I wanted to, you know, apply to the tofu scenario. I don't know if it works as well necessarily because there's not as many stages to tofu. I guess you could say, is the soy in the crops, right? Or have it been harvested or is it in the tofu state? Or is it, you know, I will say, and let me just side this here. Big shout out to Impossible Meat and Impossible Burger. So much better than Beyond Burger. I'm just going to put that out there. In fact, at your local Trader Joe's, they may have Impossible Meat there. And I will say, it's delectable.
Do you have a referral for that?
I don't know.
Speaking, if we're going to do a commercial for it, speaking as a meat eater, it is amazing.
It is.
I'm so excited.
Anyway.
It is good. I've had it. Yeah.
That's why people come to Yet Another Podcast. Not about Maui, but about, you know, tofu.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I need to now learn how tofu is made and processed so that I can further enjoy the metaphor.
I believe it's magic. It's like Shia LaBeouf. I use a service called Hungry. This is not a referral, or I'm not getting paid for this because I don't have my referral code active. But you know, you, a lot of people do those home, we're talking about cooking here. How cooked up is it? Right. And you look at something like a HelloFresh that's not cooked yet. Right. You're basically HelloFresh. I love it. Did it for a long time. It's basically, here's how you chop cucumbers and stuff. Hungry Root. It's from a vegan and vegetarian owner, but they do meat as well. But like today we had burgers. We had the turkey burgers that were infused with spinach and feta. They're pre-cooked. You just heat them up for like a minute and boom, it's amazing. Anyways, I'm all about amazing.
I think we've lost our way a little bit.
Bring it back, Jesse. Bring it back. You got three of us on a podcast. You know, do, something is going to go off.
Very precious resources here. I don't want to lose you into culinary arts. Let me bring you back and ask you about what you think the learning path should be for people who are today Xamarin.Form developers. Do we start now? And how do we start now? Or should we just let it, pardon the expression, cook for a little while longer?
Well, if you're a Xamarin.Forms developer today, you know, continue doing what you've been doing, consuming the latest and greatest that Xamarin.Forms is delivering. Again, I mentioned some of what is coming in Xamarin.Forms 5 in, you know, mid-October. And so, definitely stay on top of that. In terms of what's going to be coming for .NET MAUI and where you can start to maybe capitalize on some of the new benefits, the first demos we're going to do, you know, I'll kind of give you a little taste. They're going to be at .NET Conf more than likely. And they're going to be early bits, right? Because .NET 5 will just have shipped. We're going to be on .NET 6. So we're going to be working off some very, very hot bits. But we're going to show it working and it's going to be awesome and we're going to get everybody excited. But really the first bits that you're going to want to start using, adopting, playing around with, seeing if your apps are faster, seeing if you enjoy the new APIs for extending your controls, that's going to be first of the year. So first of 2021, we're in 2020 still, aren't we? Still. insert screams.
I got to interrupt you. I have a t-shirt that says that 2020 was an unusual leap year because February had 29 days, March had 300, and April was 5 years.
No, right? So true. We're going to all look back on this and, you know, I don't know, memorialize it, but also have interesting stories to tell our children and grandchildren. If you're a Xamarin.Forms developer today and you're looking to learn more about .NET MAUI, absolutely go to the repo. .NET/MAUI. There are already hundreds of discussions and issues with enhancement proposals out there for you to engage on. Now that's quite a bit. And so you may be wondering, well, you know, what's really worth the time investment to, because what's really going to make it? Just because everybody throws an enhancement out there doesn't mean that it's going to end up making it into the product. But you can certainly see what are the hot topics that people are talking. Very shortly, I can't give you a date on this yet, but very shortly, you're going to see new code appear on the .NET MAUI repo. It's going to be really the first significant development that you're going to see as we build up .NET MAUI. I will say that a decision that was made just this past week, so hot news for you. We originally were going to bring over the Xamarin.Forms code and kind of start to change it in place, right? But we decided that that approach, while it could have saved us a little bit of headache in terms of keeping the repository in sync with each other, because Xamarin.Forms will exist for another 2 years, essentially from this November. And .NET MAUI will launch in November of 2021. But we decided to, you know what, let's go ahead and start from scratch on the MAUI repository and build it up so that we can start with a clean architecture. If you go to the Xamarin.Forms repo today, and if you've ever tried to contribute, you know it's talk about cognitive load. There's a lot there. And so one of the things that we want to do is take the opportunity to kind of reorganize them and make it easier to follow, easier to understand, take advantage of the multi-targeting and things like that, that make it just, you know, easier to organize and grok as a new developer. So those are the places that I would start. Start by just following along with Xamarin.Forms because it is the on-ramp, and go to the .NET MAUI repo because that's where we're going to start dropping code and you'll start start to engage in the discussions and be a participant with us. Because like I said, it's all about learning from you and making sure that what we're delivering really meets your needs as developers and as customers of the product. I will mention a couple of other timing things related to .NET MAUI. Like I said, you know, the first real big public pushes, because if you remember when the first .NET 5 release shipped, right? First .NET 5 release, like nobody could barely build and use the thing. I mean, I'm sure it built, they wouldn't have shipped it otherwise, but it wasn't really something that you would want to consume as a day-to-day developer. And so it was really preview 1, preview 2, and I don't know how many previews they ended up having, like 8 or so far. And now they're getting into the RCs. And that's kind of what you can expect to a degree around the .NET 6 and the .NET MAUI release cycle. So really early 2021, you'll start to see some really usable releases from us. And then as we get further into 2021, the focus will start to shift from the mobile core stuff that we already have today to building parity across our desktops. So WinUI 3 is kind of running in parallel to us, or you know, we're running in parallel to them, however you want to see it. And so as they're going through their previews and approaching their GA release and other roadmap plans that they have, you know, we're kind of looking for when's the appropriate time to join in and adopt what they have as the Windows backend for .NET MAUI. And I don't know if I said this on the podcast or not, but we have a pull request up with a branch on the Xamarin Forms repo today that shows you WinUI 3, and you could pull down a NuGet and try to use it. It is, you know, very early bits. It's just, you know, kind of checking to make sure things are running and also giving us something that we can then, our engineering team can work with the WinUI 3 engineering team and say, okay, here's what we're seeing. Can you help us work some issues and things like that? So, that'll come mid, 2021 is kind of the thinking right now. All these things are etched in jello, right? You know, I mean, who knows? Pandemic 2, Pandemic 3, who knows? I'm not claiming that. I'm not speaking it into existence or anything like that. But, we're some sort of making things up as we, not from a product standpoint, but, you know, don't know what the pandemics are going to do. So go ahead, James.
I think the final thing, at least from all this, is that there's a lot of new stuff. People are excited, right? I think that there's a lot to be excited about .NET MAUI, about all the tooling, about the runtime, everything that's coming. And the one thing that I think is really important for sort of developers to know is that you don't need to wait to start developing mobile apps. We have an astonishing platform powered by .NET, powered by Xamarin Forms, that enables you to build beautiful cross-platform native apps, iOS and Windows. So if you need to build a mobile application, you don't need to wait for .NET MAUI. You build and ship applications now, today. It's all available, right? That tooling, the things are all there, and things will evolve over time. You know, I often, you know, the problem and sometimes the scary part of announcing new things is that people think, oh, well, I have to wait a year and a half to start. Why bother now? Everything I do will just be throwaway. Well, no, absolutely not. One, Xamarin Forms have a big, long support policy. For if you start today, you have many years, but then also there'll be easy ways to transition when you need to go forward, and some of that may even be automatically done for you. So for me, what I want to tell people listening to podcasts, they made it 45 minutes in, is go to Xamarin.com. That'll take you to the .NET website, click get started and start building beautiful applications today. And the knowledge that you'll learn from XAML and MVVM, iOS and Android will still apply a lot to what you're doing, if not all, in .NET MAUI. So if that's a key takeaway, is like, yes, be excited, because what we're announcing, more importantly, shows the commitment to the platform and to .NET for developers to build for absolutely anything. And regardless if you're a web developer, a backend developer, cloud native developer, a learning expert, a client developer, you can build it with .NET.
Amen. Good stuff.
Great.